This is Jared Bush from the Green Bay Packers, and you're watching Cheesehead TV.
Good morning, Green Bay Packers fans. Welcome to Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caribou. Joined by our live blog director, Jamie Snowden. We're talking some Packers football. We're talking about the return of John Kuhn to Green Bay. Big news breaking yesterday. The Packers have re-signed fullback John Kuhn to a one-year deal. Terms of the deal have not yet been disclosed, although reports say that is worth just north of $1 million, including both his base salary and bonuses. And John Kuhn tested free agency this year. Contract expired after last season, and he wanted to see what was out there. And so John Kuhn tested free agency, and apparently, based upon what appears to be a very minimal contract, John Kuhn is making more than the NFL minimum salary and deserves to get more than the minimum salary. The Green Bay Packers were kind enough to do so. I don't think he deserves exactly the league minimum, just based upon, you know, his knowledge of the offense, based upon what he's done in the past. He deserves a little more than that, and the Packers treated him as such. But, I mean, here's a guy who apparently did not receive much interest on the market based upon the length and the size of the deal. You know, just a one-year deal. They made no long-term commitment to John Kuhn. And you know, that the money is certainly, well, more than the NFL minimum. We're talking barely. You know, gave him probably a nice little signing bonus as a sign of thanks for his years of service. But beyond that, you know, there just wasn't, you know, a big commitment from the Packers here. You would have to assume this salary, this contract necessarily wouldn't even prevent them from cutting him. Not that I expect that to be an option. I expect John Kuhn fully to be on the 53-man roster this year and provide basically the same role he's had over the past several years in Green Bay. And you know, that's where John Kuhn's worth comes into the picture here. The many roles he plays for this team. Now, first and foremost, obviously he is a great pass protector, A-plus pass protector, the best thing he provides. And for a team that has the highest paid player in the entire NFL in quarterback Aaron Rodgers, if you're going to be great at one thing, and that's going to be your little niche, your little role, I can certainly understand how they can value John Kuhn to do that. You know, more often than not, he's been the Packers' third down back for the past several seasons. Kind of very different. There used to be a time when third down backs were these small little shifty guys who caught the ball out of the backfield, and it could be dangerous with the ball in their hands. And John Kuhn is the exact opposite of that, almost, in that he's a third down back and can play in these one back sets on third downs, but is far from a threat with the ball in his hands. Not to say he's shown to have reliable hands, which is another one of his assets. He can catch the ball if thrown to him, but certainly not the type of guy who's, you know, really thought of being, oh, he's going to take the ball to the house when he catches it out of the backfield. You know, he's not that kind of guy. He's the type of guy who's in there more often than not to when the Packers, it's third down and they're going to pass, he's going to protect Aaron Rodgers. And we saw no better instance of that than in the regular season finale last season against the Chicago Bears. NFC North title on the line, playoff appearance on the line, and on the game's deciding play, John Kuhn Chip's new teammate, Julius Peppers, knocks him off balance just enough that Peppers can't get to Rodgers, and the Packers toss the game-winning touchdown. Rodgers to Randall Cobb, 50-some-odd yards, 56 yards, game over. You know, it wasn't his time expired, but I mean, it was just with, you know, less than 2 minutes remaining in the game. And yeah, the Packers go up and hang on for the win, hang on for the victory, and the rest is history. Win a third straight NFC North title. Now, the playoffs didn't exactly happen as the Packers had hoped, but at least that game went as they hoped. So, but I mean, John Kuhn, yeah, just you know, playing a key part in that play, almost as big as Aaron Rodgers and Randall Cobb and the rest of the offensive line in their protection, but John Kuhn just adding to that. Great pass protector, obviously. That's where his worth is more than anywhere else. Not to say he can't do other things. And in fact, what it's been so nice this past season to see him really kind of almost reemerge as a lead blocking fullback. ProFootballFocus.com ranked John Kuhn as the second best run blocking fullback in the NFL last season. And I mean, if you're going to be doing that a lot as a fullback in the NFL, I mean, that's most fullbacks' primary duty. Not exactly John Kuhn. His primary duty is pass protection. But most fullbacks in the NFL, their primary duty is run blocking, being a lead blocker. And you know, I would say I really do believe this. John Kuhn is part of the reason for Eddie Lacy's emergence as a rookie last year. Obviously, Lacy goes on to be named the NFL's Offensive Rookie of the Year. And, you know, Lacy deserves the bulk of the credit. I mean, very talented young individual who's got a bright future ahead of him. But John Kuhn and the rest of the Packers offensive line, certainly, no doubt about it. I mean, there's a ton of to be said about guys like Josh Sitton, TJ Lang, David Bakhtiari, and more doing their job in front of him as well. But John Kuhn really, really, really doing a good job last season. Not a devastating type of guy, but one of those reliable guys who knows what his duty is. He knows who he's supposed to block and just gets it done. I mean, he's not going to go and put players on their backs, but John Kuhn gets the job done. You know, he just gets in the way as a lead blocker. And hey, you do that, you neutralize someone, that's all you can ask for a guy doing that type of thing. So there was a time where John Kuhn, prior to 2013, really wasn't anything special in that department. You know, from, you know, 2012, 2011, to even the Super Bowl season, 2010. I mean, yeah, he filled that role as a lead blocker, but was just adequate at it. And you really saw an improvement this year. And I don't know, is it the chicken or the egg? You can kind of make that argument. Is it the fact that just Eddie Lacy looks so good that made John Kuhn look better as a blocker? Maybe a little bit. But I just do think John Kuhn does his job adequately. Again, not a devastating blocker, not a pile driver, not a bulldozer. But, you know, just gets in the way and gets things done. But I mean, again, I can sit here and I can go through the whole list of things John Kuhn does well. He is a special teams contributor, and some people will point to the one terrible play John Kuhn had this past season, where there was a muffed punt where he tried to field a punt and it bounces off of him and the other team recovers. And yeah, that was a terrible play this past 2013 season. But I mean, he does other things than that as well. I know he's played the personal protector for the punter in years past. He hasn't been played that role full time all the time, but I mean that's very much an important job there when you're in punt formation and kind of being the last line of defense. If somebody breaks through and is a threat to block the punt, John Kuhn has been there. He's done things like cover kickoffs over the years. Again, not a full time role for him, but I mean he's able to do things like that, and also being a locker room leader. I've never known really John Kuhn to be a vocal kind of guy, but always a lead by example kind of guy. A blue collar guy, goes out there and does his job without complaint, does all these kind of jack of all trades types of roles, and just has been very professional about it. Good guy from what I know in the community. He co-hosts the Clubhouse Live, their show, over joining with the folks, teaming with the folks at the Appleton Post Crescent. Does a good job there. And of course, being a kind of a cult hero in Green Bay, where people love to shout Kuhn anytime he touches the ball. And John Kuhn, of course, more than anything, the controversy about him being kind of a short yardage and goal line carrier. There was a time where he was good at it, you know, probably around the time of the Packers Super Bowl. You remember 2010, there was a time where John Kuhn was actually, because of injuries, kind of the featured tailback at times. And he could do that as well. I mean, just another point of John Kuhn's worth. I mean, if injuries strike, he can actually be a tailback in the Packers offense, or, you know, kind of operate out of a one back system. And he does that already, but can carry a load if need to be. Not that he's good at it, but just again, knowing the offense like the back of his hand. And hey, what wasn't there? And I'll get back to the in a second here. But you know, the rumor was he was the Packers' emergency third string quarterback this year. That was while Randall Cobb was injured. I have to assume Randall Cobb would normally be the emergency third string quarterback. But John Kuhn, yeah, the your emergency quarterback even on the team. That's how well he knows the audience or the offense. If there was ever a point where he had to play, I have to imagine John Kuhn would just be handing the ball off. At least, you know, he's that trusted by the coaches and his teammates to do that kind of thing. But what was I digress here. What was I getting to with the short yardage ball carrying? So with that, the John Kuhn, he was good at it about in 2010, and then these past few years it's been, you know, certainly hit or miss. And you know what? I will never fault the Packers for handing the ball to John Kuhn in a 4-minute offense kind of thing, where they're simply trying to eat up clock. But by all means, hand the ball off to John Kuhn if that's the kind of situation. It's 3 minutes left in the fourth quarter and you have a 14-point lead. By all means, give John Kuhn the football and just run out the clock. He's experienced enough where you can trust him to do that, although he's had some fumbles over the years. But still, I would still trust John Kuhn to do that. But, you know, there's been so many times where they give him the ball in goal line situation or fourth and one or third and one, and he just ends up getting stuffed. Now, if the Packers were to do that, you know, probably 2-3 times a year where it comes as a surprise to opposing defenses where they don't really see that on film very often where the Packers are doing it, fine, I don't mind that either. But if you're going to give anybody any sort of goal line short yardage carry, shouldn't it be Eddie Lacy, who's shown to be kind of a power running back now? And again, if you give John Kuhn 2-3 carries a year in that situation, I'm fine with that. But I mean, you start doing it more than that, it starts becoming predictable, and John Kuhn just really isn't all that powerful. Certainly, no doubt powerful than me and the average person, but you know, compared to other people in the NFL who get paid a lot of money, he's just not in that same category. And credit to the Packers, they have cut back on that quite a bit. This past season, 2013, John Kuhn had only 10 carries the entire season. Only 10 carries. That is major progress from the Packers, where I think, you know, he's had in excess, maybe even the prior season, a 30 or more. So, I mean, they really did recognize, you know, hey, Eddie Lacy can do this. James Starks can do this when they have short yardage carries. So there was a major reduction in that regard, and kudos to the Packers for recognizing that. John Kuhn just, you know, not a goal line carrier, shouldn't be the primary option in that regard. So good to see there. But yeah, I mean, all these little things we've talked about, you know, special teams, run blocking, pass blocking, carrying the football, emergency quarterback, all these things combined, have a way of making John Kuhn worthwhile. Glad to see him back in Green Bay from a fan perspective. And I can understand where the Packers don't want to commit to him long term. It may be a situation where, they kind of look at it on a year by year basis now with John Kuhn and decide whether or not to re-sign him. You know, if he goes and has another good season this year, maybe they go out and sign him again. You also kind of have to look at what is the future of fullback in Green Bay in the NFL. As we've seen in the NFL, fullbacks are kind of, you know, becoming extinct in a way. Fewer and fewer teams are utilizing them. There's usually only one of them on the roster. And we've seen the Packers, even this past season, for games at a time, there were times when John Kuhn would barely play on offense for a few games there at midseason. And I think part of it was because Kuhn was hurt, but you saw the Packers offense was able to operate seamlessly without a fullback. You know, they don't need a fullback to operate that offense. And you have to wonder if the Packers maybe, when John Kuhn's time is up, whether they just get rid of the fullback entirely or you know, do they bring somebody else in, try a new younger guy? Maybe. We'll see. John Kuhn's time isn't up yet, so that's a conversation for another season, probably. Jamie Snowden, our live blog director, brings up on the live blog, asks, so do we keep four running backs and John Kuhn? That is kind of a question. The Packers have a very, very deep backfield. You know, after they signed James Starks, you know, you got Lacy, you got Starks, then you got the two scat backs, you got Jonathan Franklin, Dwan Harris, and then you got the fullback John Kuhn. That's five, you know, running backs right there. That's kind of a large number. Now, certainly they've gone with more in the past. You know, think about those years the Packers kept three fullbacks on their roster. Kind of an anomaly in the NFL, the Super Bowl season 2010, when they kept Corey Hall, John Kuhn, Quinn Johnson, and then they kept three running backs on the roster as well. And it was kind of a weird situation there. They've had more than five running backs on the roster in the past. So they, you know, again, so many things have yet to play themselves out though. I mean, all it takes is an injury to one running back and all of a sudden you're down to three running backs and a fullback, which is pretty much par for the course. So, but I mean, assuming everybody stays healthy, assuming they all play well. And again, that's no given either. I mean, it certainly wouldn't surprise me to see Duwan Harris cut at the end of training camp, especially if he has a hard time coming back from his own injury. Or Jonathan Franklin cut, probably be a little more surprising seeing as it's just his second year in the NFL and he was a fourth-round draft choice, but, you know, not ruling out that possibility. Even John Kuhn could be cut if it looks like age is catching up to him, but, you know, based upon his play last season, I wouldn't say that's the case yet. But, I mean, so many things have yet to play themselves out. Do they keep four running backs and Kuhn? I would say that's possible. Whether it's likely or not, hard to say. Ask me again in August after I've seen a few games of action, seeing how these guys bounce back from injury, like Duwan Harris, like Jonathan Franklin, and see how training camp plays out, preseason games, all those things. And it might be a tough call at the end of training camp. You know, it could be one of those things where it comes down to the final cutdown and the Packers have a tough call to make. Do they keep five running backs or do they keep that extra defensive lineman or, you know, whatever? Not saying it's going to come down to that. It could be anything, keeping an extra cornerback, extra linebacker, or anything. Be interesting to see how that all plays out. So that was the big news yesterday in the world of the Green Bay Packers. John Kuhn being resigned, 1-year deal, no long-term commitment, but he'll be on the team in 2014 at least, you know, we'll see if he makes the roster, but I would say probably a good bet that he does. Also in the news yesterday, we learned officially that Owen Daniels will not become a Green Bay Packer. Packers actually bringing him in for a visit at the outset of the new league year. Right as soon as Owen Daniels ended up getting cut from the Houston Texans roster, made a visit to Green Bay, and you thought, wow, they're really moving fast here because it happened so quickly. But Packers don't sign him, really never showed all that much interest, you know, post-visit. You never heard a peep about it. And I always thought, and I, you know, we talked about it on Railbird Central. Heck, I made the title of one episode, how Owen Daniels makes sense for the Packers. I thought he did. You know, I don't, and who knows here? We don't know what happens behind the scenes. Maybe they're scared off by his injury history. I didn't think it was a big deal. A broken bone and a torn ACL. Those are things you can, you know, come back from, especially when he's like 4 or 5 years removed from the torn ACL and played well post ACL. So, I mean, those things didn't, bother me, but, you know, I'm not a doctor and I didn't have him in for a physical and all that. So who knows, but, you know, Owen Daniels signs with the Baltimore Ravens on Thursday, going to join Dennis Pitta and the tight end group out there, targets for Joe Flacco. Still kind of questioning, you know, who's going to be the receiving threat at tight end for the Packers this year. JerMichael Finley is still at large on the free agent market. And you know, as you know, I mean, until there's more clarity on his injury situation, he's going to remain a free agent more than likely. No team in the NFL has been willing to really touch him with his injury situation. So kind of still in a holding pattern there. And you wonder, I mean, the longer this drags on, you kind of think, well, Packers got to go tight end in the draft here, or at least, you know, some sort of big target, as we've talked about here on the show in the past. You know, some guy who's like 6'5", 6'6", big guy, big mobile guy that, Aaron, you know, another weapon for Aaron Rodgers could come in the NFL draft, you know, especially now that Owen Daniels is off the market and that's officially not an option anymore. Packers released their off-season dates on their calendar recently, released the dates of the mini camps and OTAs. The program, the off-season program, starts on April 22nd. And, you know, again, the NFL's off-season program in which players come and work out at the facility, it starts slowly. Starts with strength and conditioning only for 2 weeks. Then they start kind of doing individual group drills, like the tight ends will practice together. You know, the defensive linemen will practice together, that type of thing. The running backs will practice together, but they don't come together for a team until post-NFL draft. And then once the month of May hits, they have OTAs and mini camps. And you know, the rookies are involved for the first time in that you know, environment. And that starts May. And I don't have the dates right in front of me. But again, if you can just scroll down. If you're at the Green Bay Packers home, or our Cheesehead TV homepage, just scroll down. It's there in the latest buzz section, all the dates. And as you know, the Packers will usually typically have, you know, 1 day a week open to the public. If you want to go to the Ray Nitschke Center and watch them practice in May and June, you can do that. And that, you know, you find out a lot of things about the team in that time frame. So all the dates we have them published at Cheesehead TV here. So check that out. Packers making that official on Thursday, or the NFL making an official, releasing these dates for all 32 teams and what they plan to do. So that's kind of the Green Bay Packers news in a nutshell for the past 48 hours or so since our last episode of Railbird Central. It's Friday. Looking forward today, Aaron Rodgers taking part in the Michael Jordan Celebrity Golf Invitational out in Las Vegas, the Shadow Creek Golf Course owned by Aria Resort and Casino. If you follow along on Twitter, I kept put that in today's Packers calendar. If you follow the Aria Twitter account, they provide some photos and updates from there. Nothing too competitive, more of a celebrity invitational type of thing. So not televised, anything like that. But, you know, for a good cause, they contribute to several charities from what I can tell. So, but anyway, that'll do it on a Friday here, folks. Make sure to join us every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 8:30 a.m. Central Time for the live edition of Railbird Central. Of course, we podcast it later, and we appreciate, no matter how you consume our content at Cheesehead TV, we appreciate it for you checking us out. But we'll see you on Monday. On behalf of Jamie Snowden, I'm Brian Caravu. I leave you today with a song called Best Feeling, by Keller Williams and the String Cheese Incident on Psy Fidelity Records. See you later, everyone. Go Pack, go.